Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back to Football Friday. Love that open. Joey singing to us. You know what this means?
I do.
It means we have Joey on the line. Joey!
Thank you. No, please hold your applause.
Hey, did you hear? Have you heard?
That wasn't you?
Wait, what?
That wasn't you clapping?
No, those are Rob's. He's got like an entourage of ladies that kind of follow him around.
Those are in studio audience. Most of them are hot.
It's a bit much.
There they are again. Ladies, please.
Got it.
Have you heard your laugh that we clipped from last week?
No, what?
All right, let me play this for you.
Really?
That's you.
That was when you asked me about how the Pac-12 could ever be like the SEC.
I did.
Do it again. Really? Oh, what? God, that was such a stupid question.
Oh, stop.
Really?
I don't ask stupid questions. Now, here's another stupid question.
Sorry.
Are you ready?
Okay. Yep.
So, take us behind the scenes of a new college coordinator implementing a new offense like Joe Moorhead is doing. What's it like? And what are the pitfalls?
Ooh. Ooh. Okay.
What should we watch out for?
So, I'm... Boy. Pitfalls. Old habits. And I say that with the players. I'm from the player side, right? So Dirk Cutter was our coordinator my red shirt, my freshman year. And then Tedford came in after that, right? And so it was a very different – actually, this is a great question. Here we go. Let's spill a little knowledge here.
In your face.
Ready, Sook? Let's talk football. Okay, so Cutter was very progression-oriented, right? So you come out, you drop back, and it is your first read is the curl, your second read is the corner route over the top, and your third read is the flat. Right? It doesn't matter what the coverage is. It doesn't matter what the, you know, what the defense does. That's where you go. You go 1-2-3. Tedford was of the mindset that the coverage and the defensive coverage would dictate where you go with the ball, right? So here is your progression. It's a curl this is your concept. It's a curl, a corner over the top, and then a flat route. Well, if they're playing quarters coverage, Rob, you don't know anything about this, so I'm just talking to, you know, Big Sucker. So if they're playing quarters coverage, right, you're working high-low off that Sam backer, right? And if the outside backer runs with the flat, then you throw the curl. If the outside backer drops under the curl, you throw the flat. If they're playing cover two and that corner who has the flat drives on the curl, then you throw the corner route over the top of it, right? So there are very different ways of thinking through things. You know, it's kind of the West Coast offense, the old Bill Walsh. You know, where it's just, here's your progression, 1-2-3-4-5. Doesn't matter what happens, that's where you go. And if it's open, you throw it to them. Versus, I'm going to take what the defense allows me to take because there are inherent weaknesses. There is always going to be a hole somewhere. So depending on what new coordinator versus old coordinator's philosophy was, there could be some pretty significant, I won't say growing pains, but hangovers, right? Well, wait, hey, no. I went out here because, you know, that was my first look, which was what it was with Cutter. But Tedford's like, no, that's not your first look. That is part of what the defense is going to tell you, how the defense is going to tell you where to go. And the defense told you to go somewhere else. So there are very different philosophies. It's not always just, you know, flat curl or post in a corner. There are different ways of getting to those routes, depending on what the coordinator's philosophy is.
Yeah, and so much of football is just, we're going to eliminate Rob completely here. So much of football is just, it's a repetitive thing, right?
We ask questions anyway.
It's a reactionary sort of thing. And the only way to have that done, you know, to gain that is to just have it drilled into your head over and over again.
Over and over.
You do a lack of preparation, lack of practices. I went from a very West Coast, my first 4 years at BYU were very West Coast football, Norm Chow oriented. And then all of a sudden we got a Gary Croton offense, which was shotgun, up tempo. It was couldn't be different from a philosophy standpoint. And luckily we had in a whole off season to put it in, but I'll tell you what, you're right.
Good thing there's a pandemic which has allowed them to practice every day or wait a minute. No, never mind.
Yeah. It can be hard. 100%. I agree. It can be really hard to break habits, especially if you've done them year after year after year. And then all of a sudden someone says, hey, this is completely different. You're right. Some of those habits can die hard. And I think you're seeing that around the country.
Well, yeah. And honestly, guys, that was part of my, because I didn't have enough time to truly get into those habits of Dirk Cutter, which, you know, Dirk has a tremendous career as an incredible coach, just a different philosophy than Tedford had. Right. So I only had him for 1 year, and then I had 4 years of Tedford. So that was all I knew. And then I got to the NFL, and it went straight, and I'm talking about like straight Bill Walsh West Coast offense, like where I asked the question, you know, looking at the chalkboard and saying, I'm going to get hit in the back here. How can I protect myself? And the answer was, well, you can't protect yourself. And I said, why can't I protect myself? And the answer was, well, because Bill Walsh didn't build that into his offense. So there was that significant learning or learning curve or breaking of habits for me, going from college to the NFL. The one thing I will say, though, is that Chuck doesn't have any, I don't want to say he doesn't have any habits to break, but he hasn't had that game experience, right? He hasn't truly been hit in the mouth as he's trying to execute something that he used to do, right? He doesn't have that inflicted pain to register what he should do. So he may have, it may honestly be a good thing that he doesn't have those memories. He doesn't have that ingrained in him, and he's truly starting fresh.
Power rank the Joey Harrington OCs.
Power rank. There's a no question. Number one, Tedford for me. However, and I'm going to include, well, you know what? No, because I had Malarkey in Atlanta as well. I had Jason Garrett and Mike Malarkey as quarterback coach or co-coordinator when I was in Miami playing under Saban. And they would absolutely be number two. I had Malarkey again in Atlanta before I was released and went to the Saints. So I'm going to put him, two and three, but put Jason Garrett in that mix there. And then I'm going to go to Pete Carmichael, who is still in New Orleans with Drew and the Saints and Sean Payton. Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen, who is now the co-coordinator with the Las Vegas Raiders, with Marcus Mariota right now. And then, we don't have enough time. Look, I had eight head coaches in 7 years, and I think I had 9 offensive coordinators in that span, too. So yeah. we'll be here all day.
Well, you mentioned Pete Carmichael. That's interesting because nobody could name Pete Carmichael, like just general, you know, like basic fans. Because you know, you think of Sean Payton, everybody's talking about Sean Payton, Drew Brees.
Right.
Pete Carmichael has been the offensive coordinator since 2009. Yeah. That's insane.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And Joe Lombardi, who's been working with them as well, has left and then came back. That the continuity in that coaching staff, and that is such a huge advantage for anybody. I mean, it's the conversation we had a couple years ago when Helfrich was leaving, right, and the transition of Helfrich and that whole continuity, you know, just getting rid of that culture. It's Belichick in New England. It's Sean Payton in New Orleans. It's Pete Carroll in Seattle. There is a significant strength and advantage in continuity. I mean, that type of longevity breeds confidence. It breeds comfort. And, you know, when we're talking about making decisions in fractions of a second, if you've been doing it for a decade with the exact same person and you know what they're thinking and what, you know, and they know what you're thinking, man, it's just instinct. Look, I'll give you an example. My senior year in, this goes into story time. My senior year at Oregon, Tedford and I were just like at the hip. And he comes into practice. I came into the facility one day and he's got this look on his face. I was like, what's going on? And he said, I was sleeping last night and I woke up in the middle of the night and I had this idea of how we could beat this coverage. You know, who are we playing? We're playing USC or whoever it was. And so I scratched and he kept a notepad and paper by his air mattress in his office because he slept in his office from Sunday to Thursday. Mm-hmm. So he kept a paper and pencil by his bed. And he's like, so I had this idea on how to beat this coverage and I wrote it down. And then I looked at it in the morning and I was like, and he couldn't decipher it. And he said, can you figure out what this is? And he slid this notepad over to me with just like chicken scratch and like X's and O's. Like, you know, you wake up at 2 a.m. and you have this brilliant idea about how to beat cover 4 with a zone blitz coming from the backside. And he slides it over to me as if I'm going to know. You know, like we have that type of comfortable relationship. It's like, yeah, you know what I was dreaming about at 2 a.m. last night. Here, why don't you just decipher this for me? And I looked at him. I was like, thank you so much for having this kind of confidence in me. But I have no idea what the hell this is. It was just like lines going over here and then like an X and then a circle and then like a cat and then, you know, like a barbecue and like all sorts of stuff. And so that's the kind of relationship you build when you've been working with someone for, you know, 5-10 years.
And he's like, here, try to figure this out. What?
It's like,
yeah,
an escape room.
What?
Let me just say on record, I'm telling you, NFL, college coaches, coordinators, they're some of the most unhealthy people you will ever meet in your entire life.
They're grinding.
Oh, my God.
What does it all mean when you figure it out in your dreams and then you can't decipher your chicken scratch? God. All right, let's take a break. This is Joey Harrington here on Football Friday. I'll try to think of some more stupid questions for him.
Brilliant.
Coming up next. We'll be right back. This is 1080 The Fan. Here's Mike Sports.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Really?
All right, we're chatting football with Joey Harrington as we do every Football Friday at 5:30. So to make a golf analogy, I think the COVID season, and you may have said this in similar ways in the last couple weeks, is going to be, you know, sort of how to play imperfect, you know, because that's the game of golf. Like you never really hit the ball exactly how you want. You try to score with playing imperfect. And that's this COVID season. But when you have a new offense, like we were talking about with Joe Moorhead, and I get it that, you know, there isn't as much there aren't the old habits with Shuck, more of a blank slate. How many games does a team have to play before you can realistically say everyone should be on the same page? Or is it just this COVID season's going to be playing imperfect the whole time?
Ooh.
Another good one.
Another. You're on fire.
That's two in a row, by the way.
That is.
Now you just jinxed yourself.
How many games do you have to play? I would say one. Mm. Right? Because, and help me out here, Sook. Like, I've never met a coach who said, hey, you know what? It's okay if you make a few mistakes this game, right? Hey, we'll just get it back next time. Like, the moment you step on the field, you are expected to be perfect. Yeah. And that may not be realistic, but every snap you take is graded. Every decision you make is graded. Every route you run is scrutinized. Every cover, like, I don't know that you're given that leeway. Like, just because it's a screwed up season doesn't mean that people are going to be less disappointed if you lose. And it doesn't mean that people aren't going to lose their jobs if you lose. And it doesn't mean that, I mean, all those things are still in place, right? I mean, we can have a degree of, you know, say flexibility and, you know, a little bit of, you know, understanding, like, hey, you know, okay, I get it. But at the, I mean, this kind of goes back to the question of last week, like, what's it going to take for the Pac-12 to be like the SEC? Well, the SEC doesn't care about COVID. The SEC doesn't care that, you know, Shock hasn't been thrown to his receivers. Like, at the end of the season, when they've got the college football playoff set, and, you know, if a Pac-12 team isn't in it because people have said, ah, you know what, it's a pandemic season. You know, it's okay. It just means the Pac-12 isn't in there.
Well, and you never know too. Like I remember one of my first years there, we had a quarterback competition in camp, and this, you know, Paul Shoemaker, I think was his name. He won the job. We came out against UW and he played horrifically in the first half. We were down by 28. They put in the backup and he had a good second half, and Paul never played again. You know, he took the job and ran with it. You can get Wally pipped real quick. So if you come out and you think it's your job at left tackle, it's your job at quarterback, your job at running back, you fumble a couple times, you throw a pick, and they go to a different kid and he performs, you may not get back out there.
And it really doesn't matter if there's a global pandemic or not. Yeah. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, heck, let's go back to my career, right? AJ and I, AJ Feely and I, were fighting for that job after Akili left. And, you know, Coach Bilotti told me that it was 1A and 1B coming out of camp, and AJ is going to start. But, you know, I'll take a series or two against Michigan State. And AJ went out and threw for 350 and a couple touchdowns against Michigan State. And I didn't see the field for a month. Then all of a sudden I get put in at Arizona, and we come back and win on the road. And then the following week at Arizona State, you know, come back and win on the last drive. And like you said, I never came out again. Like, you have to be ready for your opportunity no matter when it comes and no matter the circumstances. And that's a pretty calloused thing to say. I mean, when you're talking about the real world, I mean, the, you know, what is actually happening in this world? Yeah, there are, I mean, everybody is working with an imperfect slate right now. However, when you're on that football field, they are still going to expect you to make the right decisions and to be as close to perfect as you possibly can.
Well, and at least for me, the first handful of weeks here, I've thrown out everything I thought I knew. Tennessee is supposed to have a senior quarterback that's supposed to come out and be good, and he's been dreadful so far. LSU is supposed to be able to reload and have this great defense, and their defense has been absolute trash, right? North Carolina is supposed to be a top five team, and they go out and lay an egg. It just, to me, I look at Oregon and Stanford.
But Arkansas is a dominant team, though.
Yeah, Arkansas, I mean, all of a sudden,
you know,
they're
just a dominant program. I mean, we should expect that every year.
You know, Stanford was
like
not
Kansas.
Stanford was not good last year. Stanford has lost a ton to COVID. They don't have a ton coming back. Oregon is better than them at every single position. Stanford hasn't been able to practice during the whole pandemic. There honestly is no reason you can give me why Oregon loses to Stanford in week one. But if it happens, I'm not going to say that I'm shocked by it.
You weren't surprised, exactly. No.
And yet there's not a single thing I can point to in week one that leads me to believe that Stanford will beat Oregon or should beat Oregon. But welcome to the world of college football pandemic 2020.
But within that world right there, every coach is still going to expect their players to be as perfect as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And that's reality.
All right, sir. Well, two more weeks, and we have Pac-12 football to discuss. Tangible football.
It's only 2 weeks.
15 sleeps.
Yeah, November 7th.
Yep. 15 sleeps. I love that. Hey, Daddy, how many more sleeps until we get to go? 6 sleeps.
20, okay. Also, 20 sleeps to the Masters. I'd just like to point that out.
Ooh, yeah, who
that's, that's coming. I don't know yet. I haven't dug into my patented...
Rob's going to take that very seriously.
My award-winning research.
He's not just throwing that out there.
It's a big deal. People tune in for my pick.
What?
So.
Just pick Tiger. You'll be fine.
Well, not a bad way to go. Are you playing any golf with that wrist of yours?
You know what? I found a way to play golf. Good. So here, and it's, I'm kind of disappointed. So I got to wear like a carpal tunnel compression sleeve, and then I do like this wrist brace around it. And I've had to completely, I have to take a 3/4 swing because I can't hinge at the top and I can't extend at the bottom. I have to take a 3/4 swing and every shot has to be a knockdown. However, I'm going to crush at Bandon now.
Yeah.
And I can go to Ireland and I'm going to be on the European tour in 9 years. Dude. Because everything I'm going to hit is just going to be low and out of the wind. It's going to be a ground game.
That's great. I hope you play better that way.
I hope your brace is orthopedic brown too, just for aesthetic purposes. Why on God's green earth they make every one of those braces that horrible color? I don't know, but I just
my compression sleeve is my carpal tunnel sleeve is my brace is a very sleek black, and I may actually maybe we could get some like Jordan elephant print on it.
There you go. Oh, hey, you know people at Nike. Yes. Get Tinker involved in that. Pull some Oregon connections.
Let's do it.
All right. Have a good weekend. Okay.
Oh yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye, Joseph. we gotta go. Love your body.
See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.